altitude's undefeated.
Crap, rainbow, punch it up, whatever it was in.
Not a huge time on it,
I don't know where I was going. I looked like I was running and started to talk to someone. I don't know what I was doing.
I tell you what, Matt, we don't get much by you, that's for sure. From you and analysis in your car, in your home. Thank you for tuning to Holding the High Line.
Rapids fans, you're listening to Holding the High Line with Rabbi in Red. My name is Matt Pollard. It is Monday, May 22nd, 2023. The Colorado Rapids lost their third league game in a row on Saturday in the first leg of the Rocky Mountain Cup and does not bode well given the upcoming schedule they have, including RSL this Wednesday in the Open Cup. The Denver Nuggets and Los Angeles Lakers are currently in a nail biter. This podcast will probably be done before that is happening. So, Mark, I think our gentleman sweep of Nuggets in six is quickly turning into Nuggets in four or five at the absolute most. And the European schedules are closing up as Manchester City has officially clinched the Premier League title. We now know that it will be Manchester City versus Inter Milan in the Champions League final. And maybe, just maybe, it will not be Bayern Munich winning in Germany. Rabbi, how you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, you got to hang out with Pablo Mastroeni in the post-game presser, and he remembered you. That was a bit of a thrill for you, right?
I mean, I was hoping that he would at least remember my face, but, you know, remembering my name as well, and then us having a little bit of a nice banter as well was kind of fun, Mark. You know, it's funny, I look forward to, Mark, in the future of, you know, us doing this podcast, you know, in, like, season 30, when, you know, I'm in my 60s and you're about to turn 80 of us doing this podcast and being able to interact with people who've now removed themselves either from the Rapids from a coverage standpoint or remove themselves from working professionally in soccer where they're subject to media availability and the criticism that comes with that, and being able to talk and maybe me to better understand their perspective and where they were coming from and how interacting with media and what maybe we weren't understanding or the types of questions that we asked. You know, as you can imagine, Rabbi, you know, Robin Fraser's been a little bit punchy in the last three segments that he's had with media availability and hasn't liked some of the questions that have been asked. And maybe there's an opportunity for them to also better understand where we're coming from. And to have that with someone who is so cerebral and philosophical and self-aware and cosmic that is Pablo Mastroeni, regardless of the current role that he has with RSL, is something that I, as an objective member of the media, can understand and appreciate and actually like. And so the fact that we could have a little bit of a laugh about that, but then I could ask him some constructive questions and he could give me useful information, useful quotes in his own inimitable way, was fantastic, regardless of how the rest of Saturday night went. Rabbi, how are you doing? I should point out, Mark, do we want to talk about my digs in my surroundings?
Yeah, I got nothing going on, but you are on the road in Palm Springs on a work trip, and we get to institute another episode of Mark and Matt Review Hotel Wall Art. Matt, tell us about the hotel art in your hotel.
Yes, so listeners, I guess a shout out. I am staying at a Residence Inn here in the Palm Springs area. I won't say actually which city that I'm in, but Mark, I'm looking. So just above you on my computer screen, I have a nice little sunset. The sun's already gone down, and we don't quite have purple mountain majesty because the mountains are a grayish tan color rather than an actual red that then turns purple in the sunset. But I've got some mountains in the background. I've got some palm trees as well. Palm Springs is an enigma on so many levels, Rabbi, even for you and me as California natives and everything. And longtime listener to this podcast will know when Mark and I or one of us is traveling, that when we record where one of us is in a hotel room, we like to talk about the hotel room and particularly the art. And the first couple episodes that we had where I was working on a job where I was traveling a whole lot, we did that in like the first 10 episodes of HTHL back in the 2018 season. And some of the hotel art we had was esoteric and weird. And one of the fun things, Mark, that Rapids fans like to talk about, given talking about Anthony Hudson was not a fun thing at that time, was what the hotel art looked like and then trying to make sense of it. And listeners, I must disappoint you, HTHL OG Highliners, in that I actually have no hotel art here at my Residence Inn. There's some different and kind of unique wallpaper with like some cool lines on one side, and there's a different color wallpaper on the other side. But other than that, it's this weird just pastel tannish gray that matches the color of the mountains outside. I have a lot of mirrors, Rabbi. I have some interesting and modern, darker, like cherry wood furniture and everything, but actual things that I would consider art that were painted and framed and hung up and everything does not exist. Listeners, I also might sound different because the acoustics are different, and I've got carpet, and I'm next to a window, and I'm recording off of my headphones rather than my proper mic. So if the
next time you have to do this in the closet, Matt. That's what all the good podcasters do.
I don't have a closet, Mark. I have a walk-in thing with some hangers, and like there's not enough room for me to sit down in here. So that is my setup.
Bathroom next time. Bathroom.
Yes. So Rabbi, I guess I'm obligated to take pictures of the. The wallpaper, since we don't actually have art, and I'll put it out on the HTHL Twitter account, and listeners, you can make sense of it. I think we regularly, Rabbi, I feel like we had a listener who would try to compare, like, which form of bacteria the art looked like, or if there was something other in nature that it was. But so, that's going on. Rabbi, I know by the time we're done recording, we're knowing the outcome, but I think we're both pretty solid that the Nuggets will be the representative for the Western Conference in the NBA Finals. Mark, Nuggets in five or Nuggets in four?
Lakers in seven. That's
Lakers
what I
in seven? Okay.
No, probably not. I'm just rooting for the Lakers, but I haven't really watched the games because I've been so busy with soccer things and work things, which is no fun. If someone could fire me from both of my jobs, I'd have way more time to watch soccer, and I would really appreciate it.
Okay, so... I'm going to take that, Mark, as you saying Lakers. I'm going to take that as you saying Nuggets in five. So I'm saying Nuggets in four. Before we're done recording, we'll know for sure if one of those does or does not happen. So there's that. And, you know, Mark, I think we said it previously, like you and I are both aware that our fandom growing up in Los Angeles, as people who now do a podcast on a professional sports team based in the greater Denver area, we know that our teams are annoying, and the fan bases, the stereotypes behind our fan bases respectively, are also annoying to Denverites, and you and I are not the stereotypical Lakers Dodgers fan in that regard. And I would be genuinely happy for the Nuggets. I was very happy
for
all of my friends who cared about the Denver Broncos my first year living in Denver when they went to the Super Bowl and beat Cam Newton. Obviously, as soon as the Kings lost to the Oilers in the first round last season, I was rooting for the Colorado Avalanche, and unfortunately, Mark, I might be a little bit tied here because as a alumnus of the University of Miami, Heat basketball was an institution. I was there overlapping when LeBron had the Heatles and everything. I have a lot of friends who are Heat fans. So if it's Nuggets versus Heat, I would be torn in terms of which team do I go for based on which group of my fans in my social circle. I want to be happy. But no question, listeners, the Boston Celtics, I guess, Mark, if the Boston Celtics played a team of Nazis or, like, a team of, like, ISIS members, I would be rooting for the Boston Celtics. But Boston Celtics versus any other NBA team, I am rooting for the other NBA team, including the Nugs. And then, Rabbi, let's get into it. So, first of all, I want to ask, Rabbi, as an Arsenal fan who maybe was resigned yourself to the ultimate outcome that we got, your thoughts on Arsenal finishing second and five championships in 6 years for Manchester City, and very much a treble that would include them finally winning Champions League potentially included in that.
You know, I'm thrilled. Honestly, I think a lot of Arsenal fans were thinking this is our year. For me, I really felt like Arsenal maximized their possibilities this year, played very well, built on a lot of things. I think the challenge is to continue off of that. But, you know, I've been joking for years on both this podcast and just to other folks on Twitter about where Arsenal's been at for the last couple of years, which has been 5th-and-all, 6th-and-all, 4th-and-all, you know, the jokes that we make about Arsenal. And second is great, you know, guaranteeing a spot in the Champions League next year, you know, making a good run all the way. I thought Manchester City was just indestructible, just a fantastic soccer team. Haaland was unbelievable this year, just absolutely robotic in his, you know, Terminator-ness to bashing balls into goals. I mean, like, what did he finish the year with? 50 goals, something like that, in all competitions? Some insanely high number. You know, he is big and fast and technical, which are, like, you know, things that you can look at, like, you know, the great Messi-Ronaldo debate. You know, you could come down lots of different ways about who's better or whatever. But you're not going to argue that either of those guys is big and physical and capable in the air. And like Haaland is a technical dribbler, a precise ball striker, and he could get it done with his head. Is a remarkable human being, and he's only going to get better at soccer, which is also kind of terrifying. So kind of a remarkable all around thing. And then you've got, you know, De Bruyne serving balls up to him. So I don't know how to beat Manchester City. That's I think the honest truth, that like, you know, we want Arsenal to build off of this year and maybe, you know, take steps towards winning the whole thing, but I don't know how they do that.
Yeah, good points there, Mark. Briefly mentioned, Rabbi, PSG has all but wrapped things up in Ligue 1. They would need to, Lens would need to win out, PSG would need to lose out, and there'd have to be a massive 16-point goal differential that needs to be cleared. So nothing to say about that. We won't talk a whole lot about Italy. Mark, you and I are not exactly Serie A friends, but I think it's worth pointing
out.
I've
been watching a little bit, but this year it hasn't been that interesting because Napoli kind of ran away with it down the stretch. But I don't love any of these teams. That's the thing. There's no team in Italy that I'm like dedicated to. I like watching the games, but I don't care who actually wins them.
Yeah, but I do think it is worth pointing out, Mark, former guest on this podcast and Colorado Rapids international fan, Lino De Rosa, is originally from Naples and is a Napoli fan and everything.
Oh, nice.
So, Lino, congratulations to your club on winning. We like seeing, Mark, when you and I our separate independent of the Rapids sports fandom or, you know, media interest is notwithstanding, we like seeing people in our community absolutely be happy.
Uh-huh.
So congratulations, Lino. You know, to the extent that the people of Naples have gone out and destroyed Naples and celebrating you winning your first title since Saint Diego Maradona was at the club, congratulations. Listeners, if you'd like to hear about Lino's story and how some random guy from Italy became a Rapids fan because he saw a game against the Philadelphia Union in like 14 years ago, check out an episode that we did with him back in early September of 2019, we interviewed ahead of him coming for the first time ever to GSG and seeing two games. I believe two wins as well, Rabbi, so congratulations on that. Mark, I think we should move on. I think the really interesting narrative that we have is that we might actually see the Bundesliga break the duck of Bayern Munich's just decade plus of dominance. If I go back to the fixtures, Bayern Munich were up 1-0 on RB Leipzig, gave up 3 goals in the second half, and then Dortmund rolled over Augsburg the next day. So we're coming up, Mark, on what we would know as decision day, what in the Premier League they would call Championship Sunday, is actually Championship Saturday, this coming Saturday, May 27th. All games simultaneously kicking off.
Which, Matt, I believe in German is called Farfig Genugen und Splachten Frackenheits.
Sure.
Yeah.
Those games kicking off at 7:30 a.m. Mountain Time simulcast, Mark. And the two games that we have to focus here are Dortmund hosting your Mainz, and then Köln will be hosting Bayern Munich. If Dortmund win, no matter what else happens, they will win the title. If Dortmund lose and Bayern win, then they will. Bayern needs to win this game first and foremost, folks. So if Bayern does not beat Köln, then Dortmund wins the championship no matter what. And then, Mark, where things do get interesting is if Dortmund draws and Bayern wins, then Dortmund has a plus 14 goal difference that, you know, obviously, that Dortmund would not be able to overcome because they wouldn't improve on their goal difference via drawing as well. So Bayern wins and Dortmund loses or draws, then Bayern wins the title. If Dortmund wins, they win the title. If Bayern does not win, Dortmund wins the title no matter what. Mark, I get to this point every single year, Rabbi, until like 2 years ago where I'm just like, I'm going to stop caring because I know how this is going to happen. Mark, either we're finally going to see it and Dortmund's going to break the duck and, you know, Marco Reus and so many of those Dortmund players who have just absolutely choked it, not unlike a Nikola Jokic in the playoffs, are finally going to get their Bundesliga title, or the Bundesliga script writers are truly gaslighting SOBs and we're all just going to get our hearts broken and why should I be watching German football when I already know what inevitably is going to happen, no matter how obvious it is that it won't.
I mean, the only difficult choice for Americans is, are you rooting for or against Gio Reyna in this scenario, right? Like, Reyna comes off the bench right now for Dortmund, mostly, but they've got also a bunch of older players who kind of deserve a shot here. Marco Reus, who you may remember from way back, and I believe it was the 2014 World Cup for Germany. Emre Can, you know, starts in the midfield for them. And then Julian Brandt is a phenomenal midfielder who has kind of bounced around. And then the back line, they've got Mats Hummels and Nicolas Sulla. So a bunch of German national players. So, you know, it's a deserving team, but I think the funny part is that ultimately, because Germany, the narrative will probably be less about how Dortmund won the league and more about how Bayern Munich fell apart. Of course, for those of you who haven't been paying very close attention, Bayern have changed managers a couple times, or just one time in the last few weeks, and that's been fairly controversial that Julian Nagelsmann was decided to have just been not good enough, and so they switched him up and brought in, I don't remember who they brought in, but it's
Thomas Tuchel.
Oh yeah, that's what it came to me that was the right answer, and then I thought, like, that can't be right. But anyways, and then Tuchel has been kind of like not been doing great down the stretch. You know, they had a run where they lost to Man City, they drew Hoffenheim, then they drew Man City, and then they lost to Mainz, and that was kind of the beginning of the end for them. They've just been scuffling for a little while, and so I think people will talk about how Bayern, not so much how Dortmund won the championship, but how Bayern lost it. Matt, what do you think?
I think you're right in terms of what I think the general narrative will be coming out of the media. I do think at some point, like, there should be some credit given to Dortmund. First of all, one, that Bayern did not win the title, and then two, that it was Dortmund who are often have been the maid of honor the last decade of these weddings that have happened for the most part. So I'd love to see it. It would be a good story for football. I think it would create more buzz around the Bundesliga and everything. And I'd like to see it, Mark, regardless of how I feel about Gio Reyna and the narrative that he's had around this club season, around his time with the national team, and maybe his lack of having less of a role than we would have expected or we would have liked to have seen him have in Dortmund. And the last European thing that we'll talk about, of course, Mark, dear friend of the podcast, and dare I say an inspiration for us on a multitude of levels, Mark, from over there at Men and Blazers, Roger Bennett's Everton are involved. Southampton's relegation has been confirmed. Nottingham Forest got a win against Arsenal that sealed them staying up as well. So, Mark, we've got three teams that are going to occupy the final two relegation spots in the Premier League: Everton, Leicester, and Leeds, currently in that order, 17th through 19th. Everton with 33 points, and then Leicester with 31, and then Leeds also on 31. Leeds with the least, with the worst goal difference. And if I look at the schedule here, Rabbi, you've got Leicester City against West Ham, who presumably are going to be focusing on their European final now that they have nothing to play for. You have Everton versus Bournemouth, who are already safe and also have nothing to play for. And then whatever the 4% chance that Tottenham has of doing something in Europe, they are at Elland Road as well. Mark, just in a one word, who gets relegated? Who stays up, and how does that occur? And what would that say about that club?
Well, in one word, jeez, wow. Who's Leicester playing? They are
West Ham.
At home or on the road?
Leicester are at home against West Ham.
Leeds are at home.
Leeds are at home against Spurs, and then Everton are at home against Bournemouth.
Yeah.
So they're all at home. Two of the teams are playing somebody who have nothing left to play for, and then Leeds have Tottenham, who still have an outside chance at getting top seven to get into European competition, but also it's Tottenham. If there was any team that was going to blow it and let another team stay up and miss out on Europe in order to do that, Mark, would it not be the Tottenham Hotspurs?
It's really hard to pick any of these teams. I mean, Leeds have had such a topsy-turvy season with firing their managers. You know, Leicester have just been gutted of all the players that won their kind of championship a few years ago. All their great players who were there a few years ago were just kind of stripped away from the team one by one after another. And Everton have just been running on fumes with a bunch of players who have just not been getting it done all season and have just been kind of choking it back. I don't know. And but they've got players that I like Alex Iwobi, so who I thought, you know, I really like so much that I never thought Arsenal should get rid of him. But anyways, I guess if I were to pick it, I would say things stay the way they are currently. Everton rescues a draw. Leicester or Leeds both get draws or losses, and so it stays the way the table's set now. Leicester, Leeds, and Southampton go down. Matt, what do you think?
I'm going to agree with you. I think Everton stays up. All they need is a draw against Bournemouth in most scenarios, so I do think if they do stay up, I think Leicester gets something from their game. I don't think that it's enough, and I just... The Leeds crowd is interesting, Mark, where it can be the most in favor, where it can be a raucous place to play. But as someone who watched Leeds for years in the championship when they were challenging with Fulham, when they were in there for promotion and everything, of just like the when things go bad, like that crowd gets anxious because they know what's going on. And unless things come out and start out really well, you know, it's going to be them doing a Leeds, and Elland Road can turn into a really toxic place to be in ways that I'm not sure it's the exact same at Everton Stadium, and certainly not at the King Power. So I'll agree with you in that order. Leicester, Leeds, Southampton go down. Everton stay up, and Roger Bennett gets to take a nice summer break for 2 months before proceeding to crap his pants again when Everton are in the relegation battle next season. Listeners, this past Saturday at Dick's Sporting Goods Park in Commerce City, Colorado, the Colorado Rapids lost the first leg of the 2023 Rocky Mountain Cup and the first of at least four games that will take place against Real Salt Lake this competitive season. I won't go through a whole lot of details, Mark, because I think we've got bigger, like, it's beyond the nuances of what happened in any one of these plays in particular. I thought the Rapids were decent to start, but then they make a mistake and it leads to a goal. You know, two deflections in the first two goals for RSL that took place in the first 22 minutes. Connor Ronan deflecting a shot by Pablo Ruiz from what I think 30 yards out and sneaks in the corner with William Yarbrough going the other way. And then Danny Musovski cleaning up a play after a turnover, and then a shot goes off of Danny Wilson, and there's a 50-50 ball for Yarbrough and Musovski to get to. The Rapids do claw things back with a couple of set pieces. Connor Ronan finds Danny Wilson for the first Scottish Salmon of the year and the first Scottish Salmon since 2021, Mark. And then Lalas Abubakar, he's now scored a goal in three straight Rocky Mountain Cup competitions. I believe there's an RSL player who scored in that many, but that's the longest goal streak you've had for a Burgundy boy against RSL with three straight. And Danny Wilson, of all people, getting the cross on that, Mark, after kind of a broken play after a corner. But the damage was done right before halftime. It would have made it 3-1 at that time. A turnover by Danny Wilson. Nice ball down the near side touch line, and then across into the box. And then Rubio Rubin finds Demir Krylov, who's open as well. Mark, another all three goals for RSL coming off of Rapids turnovers. So much of what Colorado tries to do at home comes down to them being sharp on the ball. They've not been good on the ball this season. They were not good on the ball in those three plays, and just a series of little moments where somebody closing down, somebody getting a clean clearance, something else that they could have done a better job on. I'll give Connor Ronan a pass on the crazy deflection on the first goal as well, but certainly so many better things could have happened. The Rapids could have done so many things better to prevent those three attacking opportunities, and then even after turning over the ball to RSL, they could have done more to prevent those goals on certainly the second and the third. And Mark, just once again, RSL owns the Colorado Rapids, and I have the stat here, Rabbi. This is from OptiJack. Since the start of the 2014 season, RSL has won 17 games against the Colorado Rapids. In that stretch, that is the most wins for any MLS team against any other MLS team. Put another way, the Colorado Rapids get dominated by RSL more than any MLS team gets dominated by any other MLS team. Mark, I just kind of ran it and said a whole lot of stuff. I don't know if I'm throwing it to you for good things here, but you know, where do you want to start?
Good thing. I thought Brian Galvan looked really good. I really liked the way the Rapids were basically deploying him on the right side, which was an interesting choice because it forced Keegan Rosenberry to play on the left side most of the game. You know, it was hard to say whether they started out that way And that was the actual lineup, or whether they started in the normal way with Rosenberg on the right and Galvan on the left, and they just did what's called inverting them and flipping the sides. But that was a nice tactical riffle that I enjoyed. There was that great shot early on for Brian Acosta off the woodwork that really would have changed the game. I think, you know, if we look back on things, everything would have been different if that had gone in. I feel like Brian Acosta is really, really good at hitting the woodwork. Like, he's a crossbar specialist, which is really, like, it's a fun thing to do in practice. I don't know if Rapids fans know this, but players sometimes actually engage in a competition where they try to doink it off the crossbar. Maybe they're doing too much doinking in the practices and they're not actually trying to tuck it into the upper 90 and put it in the goal. I'm being slightly facetious, but, you know, that's a little... It would be great if Acosta could nail one of these long rangers that really, you know, threatens the goal. Those are my good things. That's clearly not a lot, but if you watch this game, I think you understand why that is. Matt, what's your good thing?
Well, first of all, to your point, Mark, bringing up Brian Acosta, I guess let's start from a tactical standpoint, Rabbi. I would classify, if I had to put into a general bucket the shape that the Rapids had and everything, I would call it a 3-5-2. If you look at the MLS match day lineup they have, folks, which as longtime listeners will know, can be a little bit drunk and have players slightly out of position, they have it as a 3-1-4-2. I'd say at times, certainly for long stretches defensively, it was back four, Keegan on the left, and then Lalas Abubakar at the right back position, which I guess kind of worked modularly in terms of setting them up to then win the ball and then be in a better position, Rabbi, to then do something with it, which is something that we've seen that the Rapids have actually struggled with, especially when Diego Rubio's hurt, Cole Bassett's hurt, which was the case in both of these games, obviously, and then no Max as well. I have not heard any further thing on that, folks. So I want to give some credit that Robin Fraser tried something different, Mark. It didn't really work, and maybe that's more a statement of the ingredients that he's dealing with more so than how he is choosing to use those ingredients. You know, I think it's well understood what the Rapids have in those three center backs, and they're imperfect, they're flawed, especially when what's in front of them is a mess and doesn't lead them to being successful. Brian Galvan brought the sauce in a good way and didn't spit on anybody's chest to get fined and red carded, which was kind of nice. I thought, to your point, Brian Acosta was a breath of fresh air in terms of what he did in possession. I thought Corona Ronan, the deflection for that first goal notwithstanding, did everything he could, but kind of similar, Mark, to where Acosta was last year, or even in stretches where the team's been really bad. Like, say, Jack Price's first year under Anthony Hudson, it was his role being well-defined and what he had to do and him doing a good job, but maybe being unable to elevate other people. I think it's a real disappointment for Ronan's first year with the team that he was brought in to kind of be played with Jack Price, and we got, what, 15 minutes of that, maybe? But, you know, Mark, Kevin Cabral did some nice job pressing, but, you know, there were a couple of long balls to start off the game when I thought the Rapids were really trying to break the game open, and those passes were off. Credit to Zach McMath, Mark, who I thought had a really good game coming back and playing against the Rapids, and just a couple of those long balls, either, you know, Cabral timed it well in terms of being onside. That's an improvement. He got separation from the last defender, which is good. I would hope that he's, you know, he's faster than Brian Vera, for example, but ultimately the passes were inaccurate and they couldn't ultimately connect on that. And then what are you ultimately then doing? You're giving a team that came out in a flat 4-4-2 cheap possession away for them to kill the game and play slowly as well. And just as soon as it went 2-0, Mark, that fed into what RSL wanted to do. And it was just way too easy, unfortunately. The overarching thought I have, Mark, you know, the Philly game, the Rapids got punked. We both said it about the Atlanta game that, you know, Colorado just got flat outclassed, and at no point, even if it was only 1-0 80 minutes in, like, there was at no point that you felt that the Rapids were going to equalize. All it was going to take was one more goal, and then the wheels were going to come off the train, and absolutely they did, and it ending 4-0. And so it just, there was such a sense of inevitability about this game for me, Mark. I was sitting up in the press box next to Brendan Plone and everything, and I think Danny had just scored, and it's like the, hey, this is MLS, this game is drunk, anything's crazy. And like, Brendan's like trying to talk into like, this could be like a turning point, the Rapids have an opportunity and everything. And right as that's happening, Danny Wilson's dribbling the ball up on the near side, and I'm like, Brendan, I've seen this movie before. I feel like I'm just watching the I feel like I'm having the exact same nightmare that I've had 17 times now since 2014. And just like, RSL's going to score and they're going to kill the game and they're just going to be extremely ruthless on no XG and the Rapids can do all these other things that are well between the boxes and statistics and everything, and it's not going to matter because no matter what happens, this is just what happens in the Rocky Mountain Cup. And right as I'm saying that, Wilson turns over the ball. Ball goes down long to I don't remember which player and everything, and I'm watch Brendan, this is going to be a goal, and I'm like, and then as soon as the ball gets passed to Rubio Reed in the middle, I'm like, Krylach is wide right open if he finds him, and then immediately, and that was just like perfectly poetic of like the old hat in the media mark kind of educating, I am Pablo Pascal in that moment, and Brendan Plone gradually became the bleary faced, oh my god, what have I gotten myself into, Nicolas Cage in that meme and everything. So, Rabbi, you said good things. So I guess, Danny with the golden assist. They've done better things on set pieces and everything. It was nice to see some execution there. Lawless brought the energy. I'm not sure that he was. I guess he was. I don't know if we want to bring out the blame pie on all three of the goals, Mark. But you know, two unfortunate deflections. I already talked about that. You know, and I thought Lawless was maybe a little bit out of position. Mark, the Rapids don't, one of the things that I think hurts the team in transition, they like playing with high fullback. So even though I think Brian Galvan is faster, it could be equally fast as Rubio Rubin, probably faster than Brian Oviedo, is that he's so far up the field that it's hard for him to catch back. I would say the same thing for Sam Nicholson when he's in an advanced position. Keegan Rosenberry, a little bit more conservative, but Rabbi, I think we can now say probably that, you know, the Keegan Rosenberry isn't the defensive stalwart, everything's going to be okay player that historically he has been. I think we can say enough. We know enough about this team defensively. We should stop thinking about this team in terms of what they were in 2021, especially the defensive players who are on that team and what they were defensively in 2021. I think we need to acknowledge that 2022 is them maybe regressing past their mean, and we've now found their level, and it's probably closer to what they were in 2022 than they were in 2021. And I feel that way about Keegan Rosenberry. We've talked about how Lawless Abubakar is an imperfect player, and Mark, you and I come off as Danny Wilson apologists, mostly because we just acknowledge the thing that he's really particularly good at and acknowledge his flaws, which unfortunately the team hasn't been set up well to guard against or hasn't executed on guarding against that. And one of those things that, you know, under Robin Fraser that they've been poor at is even when they're in a good shape, even when they're in possession and they're in a good shape to where if they lose the ball, they can recover, they don't recover well. And the play and the situation where it usually ends up burning them is they cut back to a midfielder, not the actual striker in the box, who's then wide open, does not get covered because the defenders track too far back to, they overreact or they compensate and then the ball gets cut back and then they don't react well in time. And the midfield doesn't cover as much as well. I feel like that's more prominent this season than it was last season. And that's far more prominent in the last 2 years than it has been in 2021. Mark, maybe that's all just simply Jack Price not being there. I don't know the answer to that question. But, you know, I would say that about the Julian Carranza goal against Philadelphia. And I would certainly say that about the winning goal by Demir Krylach in that play as well. And so, you know, Mark, we can sit here and we can nitpick what's going on defensively. But it increasingly feels like for me, just these games are too predictable. We know what the Rapids are. I feel like if one of the other young center backs that we've hyped up on this podcast was absolutely dominating in training, they would have gotten a serious look outside of Open Cup in this. The fact that the two Open Cup games the Rapids have played, none of the young guys or the bench guys have really jumped out to me, says that they're not a serious challenger for starting minutes for the team. Mark, you and I, similar to Danny Wilson, we acknowledge what Sam Nicholson's great at. We acknowledge what he's not good at. He's a bit of a vibes guy. Mark, who was the Uruguayan who you interviewed, who I can't remember now off the top of my head, who's the bench guy?
Enzo Martinez? Oh, Mesquita. Yeah,
And Nicholson's kind of being forced to start because nobody else really fits, and Nicholson can do a bunch of different things. I thought he had some moments. He was really good when he got into space. I don't think he did enough in other positions, but again, he's playing out of position and being asked to do something because it's what's needed from the team. Lewis had some good dribbles, Mark, but just this, similar to how the defense is just so flawed and predictable and easy to guard against, easy to scheme against for the opponent to take advantage of, the Rapids aren't threatening an attack right now, especially at home. let me look up this stat, because I looked it up, Rabbi, and it really encapsulated things, especially with a quote Danny Wilson gave us post-game. So, you know, you had 0.8 XG for RSL. 0.7 of that came in the first half. So three goals on 0.7 XG, and then you had two goals for the Rapids on 1.1 XG. So congratulations to Danny Wilson and Lal Subhubakar for outperforming the expected goals and everything. But Mark, 1.1 isn't enough. You know, you played against Philadelphia, and, you know, I think it was right around 1 XG, and most of that was Connor Ronan's penalty the other day, you know, last two Saturdays ago. Now, the Rapids aren't threatening at home. They're not good at creating chances without Diego Rubio, and then even the chances they come, there's not enough of them, they're not high quality enough, and they don't finish well enough to overcome all their other deficiencies right now as a team. And so I think this is a really flawed team, Mark. I think they're extremely predictable, even though we saw a new formation and Frazier try to do things. What does Pablo Mascherini say? Post-game, he says, you know, there was nothing they did tonight that really surprised us. Mark, what does it say about you as a team when you've got an opponent coming off of four losses in league play, a bunch of their strikers haven't scored goals, they come out, they roll out in a 4-4-2, and they perform on their XG, you've got a couple guys breaking really long goal droughts and everything, and it's like, yeah, we worked really hard, nothing they did surprised us, and we won the game, congratulations to us. Like, the, you know, that does not bode well. That is a metric that tells you this is a bad team, that good teams are going to roll over, and that teams that are well-coached, that do a couple of things well, are going to be able to take advantage of your deficiencies and are not going to be severely threatened by what you do from an attacking sense. Kevin Cabral, not good enough, Mark. Michael Barrios, you know, he shows up one game, he doesn't show up another game in terms of what he does. And as I'm looking here, Mark, congratulations to the Denver Nuggets on sweeping the Los Angeles Lakers in four games. Mark, I've been talking for a whole lot. This does not have a plot. This does not have a schedule. What do you think of what I'm saying? The big takeaway for me, Mark, is I feel like if the Rapids lose on Wednesday, the season's already done because of how much we know about this existing team. And then even if they do get healthy, I don't know that that's enough. You know, Rubio gets healthy, Cole Bassett gets healthy. That does significantly improve this team offensively. But, you know, Mark, when go back and find another time in which we've seen a team that through 14 games to the regular season clearly does not look like a playoff team, then makes the playoffs. They're not healthy. They haven't been healthy all season. So is that a symbol? Is that a signal to us that we shouldn't be thinking they're going to be a healthy team? Is that a valid question of the infrastructure at the club? Is that a valid question of the medical staff? Is this an indication that they've got a bunch of injury prone players right now? But, you know, Mark, for this to be a better defense, let's be real, they probably need an upgrade at center back. They probably need to be looking at both fullback positions short term, if not certainly long term. They need some help in the midfield with Jack Price out and Cole Bassett out right now. And Kevin Cabral has yet to continues to look like an underwhelming player who's a bust and everything. Mark, that's... Oh, what are you saying, Rabbi?
Up it up.
There's too many holes, and I don't have confidence at this point, Rabbi, that Porrick Smith is going to be able to fill more than one, maybe two of those in the season. They're going to get some surprise results, work really hard, turn some bad performances into draws, and then do just enough to finish 9th to 11th. And if they do make the playoffs, they're going to be one and done. And why should I care about this season when I know it's predictable and not fun?
Matt, what is in the water in Palm Springs? You are fired up. Matt went on like a 9-minute diatribe there, and that was just bad thing. I think if you were a super hardcore, I'm not picking on you, Matt, I love you. If you were to go and do a deep dive timing of HTHLs, and you recorded the total time that Matt did good thing versus the total time Matt did bad thing, it would tell you everything you need to know about the direction of the Colorado Rapids season. I think things are really, really bad if Matt's going to go on that long about bad thing. It's just a really bad sign with not only how the game went, but how Matt feels about how the season is going. It's just a really bad sign. I will answer one of Matt's 75 different questions, only one, and then I will give a couple of my bad things and then we will move along. But Matt covered a lot of ground. The thing that you said that was most interesting to me, I believe, was kind of about the question of, well, first of all, whether the team needs a win in the Open Cup against RSL this week or the season is hopelessly lost. I don't think so. I actually think win or lose, go out of the Open Cup or not,
the season is not over. There is a way to turn the season around. I do believe in these players. I do think they're good enough to play on the MLS level. I think the salary results that were revealed last week indicate that, like, there are a lot of players who are, you know, generally considered MLS level players and, you know, good, solid MLS players, and a couple of players who are above average MLS players who should be able to kind of do this at this level. The other bad thing that you touched on, there was another thing you said, and it tickled my brain, and now I don't remember what it was. I want to say a couple things. One is a thing that I noticed early on in the game. I didn't tweet about it, I didn't mention it, but I kind of, because I wanted to watch it play out, was this. The RSL came out, and they did what's called spread the field. They really went from sideline to sideline with players and were really kind of stretching the field for the Rapids and forcing the Rapids to kind of run around in the middle of the ground. They were also making long passes and forcing the Rapids to either disrupt those long passes, but also because of when the turnovers happened, the Rapids were spread out over the field. That forced the Rapids to make long passes. And I felt like, and this is frustrating as a fan, as a supporter, as a tactician, I felt like RSL was dictating terms to the Rapids on their home turf, that the Colorado Rapids not only fell behind early and played catch up, but that RSL chose the tempo and the terms of the game. And that's frustrating because it felt like Pablo Mastroeni outcoached Robin Fraser. I wouldn't say that to his face, but it felt like it. And you know, the other thing is this game to me fell apart completely when Danny Musovski tucked back that rebound for the second goal. At that point, I was basically like, this game is over. You know, I mean, the Rapids might get a goal back, and they did, but it didn't matter because RSL got one more before the half, and that was that. But it really looked like this team wasn't able to close down with their midfielders on the defenders. They let their opponent kind of move the ball around on them and spread the field. That second goal was a good example of that. The first goal was a good example of that. There was just a lot of space that RSL created. And then they finished, and they also moved the Rapids around and got themselves open shots. They did the kind of thing that Colorado has wanted to do this season and has said that they were going to do this season and last season, which is move the ball from side to side and create create opportunities for themselves. But it, instead of the Rapids doing it, RSL did it because they just did them. There were individual breakdowns that you were mentioning, Matt, but overall it was a hot mess. And you know, it's a good question as to whether this is the team that we're looking at. This is the Rapids, and we are condemned to watch them flounder around for the bottom three spots in the league, or whether, as I kind of pointed out today, like, you know, it doesn't take much to get back into the game in the Western Conference. I mean, they're only 4 points out of a playoff spot, but that, like, seventh, eighth, ninth playoff spot is not impressive, and nobody feels excited about it, you know? And I think one of the things we're also worried about is, you know, people who provide Rapids content and who want a strong fan base for this team is there's not a lot of buzz or excitement around this team right now. Like you just can't get up for this. Last thing I'll say, Matt, is they don't have a deep team. They didn't have a lot of guys last week. You know, they had to go with a skeleton crew against Atlanta. There were a lot of injured players. You know, Yosuke Honda Hanya got into the game, which good for him, but also that's not a great sign, you know? And we may be in a similar situation on Wednesday.
Yeah, well said, Mark. And to your point, Rabbi, to my point to further double down, and credit to Jason Maxwell, who's been beating this drum for a while, the secondary transfer window for MLS this season will be open from the 5th of July through Wednesday, August 2nd, so a little bit less than, so in about, what, a month and a half, 2 months, and it'll be open for not quite a full month. And Mark, at that point, because of League's Cup, there will be only 12 regular season games left for the Rapids. So even if you have somebody walk in right there July 5th ready to contribute, you've got a third of the
regular season left to go. So could I be talked into, we're going to make a couple quick signings and go all in on Leagues Cup and we'll deal with the regular season after that? Maybe. If the Rapids are still in the Open Cup at that point, could they be making those signings and focusing on, we're going to get the player ready for Open Cup by playing them in MLS play as well? But, you know, Mark, we saw it last year and, you know, the front office tried to talk a big game and set themselves up with the move for Mark Anthony Kay, and it didn't come through. And I think this roster is far more flawed than maybe I had previously thought or been convinced of, and it needs more work. I do think the players need to get better. As we've said, they do need to get healthy and everything. But, you know, they don't have a lot of, whether it's injuries or mistakes, they don't have a lot of room for error. And, okay, Mark, yeah, it only takes a couple wins to get back into the season and everything. The only wins the Rapids have over teams that are worse than them in MLS play. At some point, you need to beat average teams in order to move up the table to then be mid-table and therefore average. Last thing I want to say, Mark, because it has nothing to do with this, it has nothing to do with the game, but it's kind of a fun thing. Rabbi, there were a lot of Bryans involved in this game that were spelled differently. You've got Brian Acosta, B-R-Y-A-N. You also had Brian with a Y, Oviedo for RSL. You have Brian Galvan, B-R-A-I-A-N. And then you've got center back for RSL, Brian Vera, B-R-A-Y-A-N. And then the Brian that I prefer how to actually spell it, Mark, you had up in the press box there. I finally got to meet him in person after having him on this podcast a few times. Brian Dunseth, B-R-A-I-N. So shout out to all the Bryans, I guess. There were more different Bryans on the field than there were goals scored by the Colorado Rapids. And that either means there's lots of Bryans, Mark, or the Rapids were bad. Probably both. Mark, before we get on to the second Rocky Mountain Cup game to be played this month at DSG and then look ahead to FC Cincinnati, tell our listeners how they can support us. Listeners, if you're still somehow listening to this podcast after my long negative rant,
oh my God,
just immediately give up,
it's okay, follow
the Rapids and decide to give up on the team and everything, like, thank you. Watching your team sucking is not fun. Watching a losing team isn't fun. And the last thing that you want to do is then spend an hour listening to a podcast where we try to break down and make sense of the suckage and everything. So if you're listening to us and everything, you are our people, you're our community. We appreciate you. And regardless of what happens this Rapid season, we want to give you really good content to fully appreciate and feel loved and everything. Mark, tell our listeners how they can better make that happen.
Well, so if you want to support Holding the High Line, you can subscribe to our Substack and keep listening to our podcast. You can give us reviews, which is always helpful. You can retweet and repost us on all of your favorite social apps. And if you really want to hook us up, you can support what we do financially. We got to pay for hosting. We got to pay to drive out to matches. We've got to occasionally just, it's nice to know that you like us by buying us a beer every once in a while. You can do that by becoming a paid subscriber, aka a Highliner. You go to our Substack, you click the subscribe button on any one of our ads. You can subscribe at the $5 a month level or the $42 a year level, which is actually, for math geniuses, cheaper than $5 a month. If you really want to be our bestest friends of all time, for $96, you can join the Gallery of Honor plan. And guess what, Matt? All of these folks get a piece of our new upcoming merch. We are printing a pint glass with a new Holding the High Line logo. It's going to be pretty cool. It's going to look a lot like the old one, but even snazzier. And then, Matt, I'm trying to figure out, I'm thinking we're going to do like a hashtag on the other side of the pint glass. I'm leaning towards just Ask HTHL. Not in the face wouldn't be a terrible one after this week. Another really good idea for a hashtag here might just be to say something like, you know, Rocky Mountain Cup, or you know, especially if you remember us from two seasons ago, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. Any other thoughts, Matt, on what a hashtag on the back side of the pint glass might be?
Mark, you're not going to believe this, and now we have to do it. I had a premonition.
No. Okay?
So I've told you about the dream I have where you invest in me and Richard Terry opening up
another soccer bar in Denver, and then using that as a return on investment for the kids' college fund. I've told you about this dream, right?
It's genius. I think you mentioned it once, yes.
Okay,
it's crazy.
So in this other, I've had recurring dreams of this, Mark. So this is like there's I have a dream series of cheers at this fictional bar that Richard Terry and I are running into the ground and hemorrhaging money. This is Cheers meets Always Sunny in Denver, Colorado. So in this scenario, Mark, I don't know how this happens. I am serving, and all the people in the bar are former Colorado Rapids number sixes. So I'm going to assume Michael Azier probably doesn't drink, but he was there. Nick LaBracca was there. Jack Price was there. He was joking around. Sam Cronin walks in and everything. And so at one point, I don't remember who started this, Mark, but it was just like a cheers to the demons. So we love number sixes, Mark. Number sixes are who we are for, holding the position that is extremely emblematic of the Colorado Rapids in the present time and in the past and everything. The essence of Rapids thug life, if you distill it down, is a holding midfielder. Could we do something with that, Mark? Like pour one out.
I like cheers to the sixes. I thought that was good. That was really good. And especially if you're going to put it on the back of a pint glass, that's really good. Cheers to the sixes. I think we got it. I mean, the nice thing about pint glasses is we could always do another run with, or we could do a couple different runs with a couple different things on the back. But I'm liking cheers to the sixes. I think that's what we go with for the year. Anyhow, if you become a supporter of ours, you'll be supporting citizen soccer journalism, and we appreciate it. Back to you, Matt.
So, Rabbi, I opened up the podcast by blowing raspberries because, Mark, in the Rocky Mountain Cup, the Colorado Rapids are forever blowing melancholy raspberries, and we're probably going to be doing that again on Wednesday. Round of 16, Mark, at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, late kickoff here. It will be the last game of the round chronologically. It'll be an 8 p.m. kickoff out there at DSG. Mark, midweek games aren't normally good for the Rapids. Open Cup midweek games aren't normally good for the Rapids. I would want to believe the Rocky Mountain Cup would bring a little bit more interest potentially, but depending on what happens, the Nuggets, it's impossible for the Nuggets to play on Wednesday because even if the Heat sweep Boston tomorrow, we wouldn't be into the finals. So we might have that issue in future Rapids home games, not necessarily in this one. But Mark, I have to think 8 o'clock kickoff, you know, on a school night and everything, because I think school is about to be done, but is not done for most of the school districts in the greater Denver area. So you're talking about the games over 10, you know, you're home 10:30, 11, you know, asleep 11:15, 11:30, not super great. And coming off of the fact that, you know, the team lost to RSL, and I should point out, Mark, you know, a lot of squad rotation there from Real Salt Lake and how they were able to manage the game. RSL doesn't have that many injuries. I guess Savarino's out right now, but he's been out with something long term, and so we knew that he wasn't going to play in either of these games probably. I did get it confirmed on Saturday, Mark, that RSL is going back to Utah. So just like with the two games in California, the Rapids had a couple weeks ago where they went back to Denver before going to Sacramento. RSL is back in Utah at time of recording, I believe. They will be staying a few extra days. They have a road game on Saturday, but that's not relevant to this discussion. But Mark, the Rapids are injured. Robin Fraser said that the team looked really fatigued on Wednesday. I'm not sure if anybody significant is going to be back being healthy on Wednesday compared to where they were at, and they've got a big game coming up at home against FC Cincinnati. RSL relatively rested, albeit with a little bit of travel back and forth on Delta Airlines, probably out to Utah and everything. But you know, Mark, I'm not feeling super confident about this game. I think RSL puts out a hybrid lineup that's probably a better version of themselves in Open Cup. I think we probably see two of the young center backs get an opportunity to try and show something, and it's not obvious to me that this team's going to be any more threatening in the attack given that the Rapids will finally be playing an MLS team in Open Cup. Mark, I think the Rapids lose this one.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't feel confident. I mean, if we can't win at home, how are we going to win on the road? If we can't win with our MLS lineup, how are we going to win with, you know, a few players rotated out? Is there something tactically they can do differently? I'm not really sure. The team has to feel, though, on the opposite point, the team has to feel like they're up for a reaction, right? And the tactical side of the team, they have to sit down, the coaching staff have to sit down and look at the tape of the last game and say to themselves, I really that they really saw something that they can exploit, that they can do differently, that they can mess with. And maybe they saw something about RSL that they can take apart. I don't know. At the end of the day, I'm more or less with you, which is I've got no confidence in this team. The only thing I will say is this, RSL definitely scored their chances, right? They didn't have that many opportunities on goal and they were successful. And Colorado missed a few good looks. It could go the other way. There was a universe in which the Rapids win that game 2-1. And so, you know, goals change games. And there is the possibility that they go storming into the Rio T and they make something happen. I'm not optimistic about this one, though. For me, this one feels like 1-1 going to extra time and then losing on PKs. Matt, how do you think it's going to go down for us?
I think the Rapids lose this one. I don't know if it's in regulation, but I don't think it'll go to penalties, Mark. I think RSL wins. I think it'll be a one-goal game in terms of the scoreline, but it's hard for me to judge just given, does Robin Fraser, I think he's really in a pickle right now, Mark, because I think there was, you know, there's been frustration for him and for the players on the sideline after the game, leaving the pitch, and then in the media as well. Like, this is the first game where I really felt like there was a sense of defeat, or defeat's maybe too strong a word. I don't want to put emotions. I don't want to put words into what his emotions he was feeling, given how normally stoic he is in media interactions. But you know, his opening statement was one of the shortest and one of the bluntest that we got on Saturday. You know, it was here. Let me look it up so I don't misquote him or get one word wrong. You know, he says, you know, we can't expect to concede goals like that and win games. That was the entire thing. So 11 words. And normally there's several sentences. If the game's particularly frustrating or particularly rewarding or is climactic one way or the other, given how the team had been previously, he'll go on for an excess of a minute. But usually it's at least four or five sentences. There's some nuance. There's some detail in there, not just big picture and everything. But he opens up, you know, just saying we conceded three soft goals, didn't deserve to win. You can't expect to win like that. And even then, Mark, and me summarizing, I've already said more words than he said as well. Like there's, and so I think he's in a pickle now where it's like do we try to go for Open Cup to actually try and go for a competitive game? And, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of resources given the fixture congestion they've had and given the fixture congestion that they're going to have this week as well. You know, the worst case scenario would be for you to go all in on one of these games and then find a way to lose both of them, especially if you lose with the same existing problems that have been obvious within this team as well, or if somebody gets hurt. So do you go all in on Open Cup because you're, what, four games away from a trophy? Or do you think that, you know, FC Cincinnati also playing in Open Cup, maybe taking the Rapids a little bit lightly, you know, assuming it's not a Don Baggi revenge game, is that a game that you can get something from? Is that a game that you continue to double down on the team and the way that you've played and everything, and then maybe eventually they click? Maybe Kevin Cabral gets a garbage goal or something, Michael Barrios scores something, and then, you know, they turn a corner in ways that they thought they turned a corner with the win over LA Galaxy. And so I wouldn't know what to do in that position. I don't know what Robin Fraser is going to do, and it's hard for me to guess what's going to happen in this game without first seeing the lineup. So I'll give you my actual prediction once I see the lineups, Mark. Like I said, I think there'll be some squad rotation in a positive way for Paolo Mascherini and for Real Salt Lake. And I think if there's any squad rotation, it's going to be to a negative for the Rapids, because they're going to put in bench players who've been less proven against MLS competition, or we just know through the data that we have so far this season are not as good. Danny Leyva hasn't really been impressive for me. Ralph Prisso is not as good of a midfielder as Brian Acosta. And I think we know that, you know, if it's Sebastian Anderson in the back, maybe he's not as good defensively as Keegan Rosenberry, despite what I said about Keegan a few minutes ago.
I like Danny Leyva. I think there's a lot of potential there, but I think he hasn't proven to me that he's a two-way player in the sense that, like, you know, Connor Ronan is really, really adept at getting up and back, and he passes the ball really well. Ralph Prisso is kind of everywhere all the time, and I do like the way he's capable of making open field tackles and getting back. I think he leaves a little bit to be desired in attack. And Leyva, Dish is a tasty pass, and he's good in the dribble, but I haven't seen him defending. Like, we're just not we've got guys who have obvious deficiencies throughout the midfield, and we just don't have three guys who can boss a game, the three of them together, and inspire confidence. There aren't a lot of three-man or two-man midfielders in MLS right now that I look at them and I go, like, they're absolutely dominant. But there's a couple, New England is one of them. Cincinnati is one of them. LAFC tends to be one of them. So they're and I mean, honestly, Atlanta with Thiago Almada basically bossing things, whoever is with him in the midfield following, trailing behind him as he races off to the goal, makes him look good. But, you know, that's where we're at right now, which is like, we don't have any, you know, two or three players who combine to really take charge of a game. And that's really, that doesn't inspire confidence. So.
Listeners, this coming Saturday at the Sporting Goods Park.
Speaking of doesn't inspire confidence.
Yeah, May 27th, the Colorado Rapids will be hosting FC Cincinnati. Mark, who are off to a fantastic season so far. They are currently at time of recording first in the Eastern Conference and first in the Supporter Shield as well. They've got 30 points off of 13 games played. They have a record of 9-1-3. They have a goal difference of +7. That being said, away, they've played a number of home games, Mark. They've played 8 home games, only 5 away. They're 8-0 at home. And away from their stadium in Cincinnati, they are 1-1-3 this season. Meanwhile, the Rapids continue to find themselves below the playoff line. They're in 12th in the Western Conference, ahead of just Kansas City and LA Galaxy. 12 points off of 14 games played. They have a record of 2-6-6. Goal difference of -9. And once again, at the Richard this season in league play, they are still winless 0-3-3. Mark, FC Cincinnati is looking really good. They got a massive win in an absolutely crazy Hell's Real Derby over the weekend. Lucho Acosta with a brace. They ended up winning it 3-2. Moreno, there got the winning goal. And that should be pointed out, folks, just like the Rapids, FC Cincinnati are playing midweek. They are in the Open Cup in the round of 16, and they are playing the New York Red Bulls. So maybe an interesting, you know, at home, but then flying to New York and then maybe flying back to Cincinnati and then a day or two later coming out to Colorado. Mark, this team is stacked. Pat Noonan's done an absolutely fantastic job in what I think is second year with the team and everything. Brandon Vasquez is clicking up top. Lucho Acosta looks like his usual self. It should be pointed that Brenner has been out of the team. His move to Europe, the team and the fee of which I can't remember, that has been confirmed. And he was kind of their big DP signing a couple of years ago, Mark, when you were there for the game at FC Cincinnati. 1-0 Michael Barrios, if I'm remembering correctly. But this team otherwise is stacked, Mark. Their defense, which normally was their big flaw that they had in the past, is much, much improved. Yonzi Mosquero has been fantastic. Matt Miazga coming back from Europe, great. Nick Haglund has been fitting in as well as kind of their physical presence. Barriel has been one of the best wide wingbacks for me in the season, Mark. And then Moreno, the one who got the game-winning goal, has been in midfield sitting behind Lucho Acosta. They're normally playing in a 3-4-1-2 as well. And Mark, it should be said from a Rapids interesting standpoint, with Brenner out of the team recently, that has given opportunities for former Colorado Rapid and Senegalese striker Dominic Baji, who hasn't necessarily produced stuff, Mark, but he's vibes. And, you know, in the same way, Mark, that you and I stand Sam Nicholson and Danny Wilson and Michael Azira, we absolutely stand Dom Baji, and so I'm sure it'll be fun to see him back here. And Mark, I think it would be extremely fitting for Dom Baji to come in, score a goal, and be like, I'm starting on a team that's top of the table, and we're going to win the Supporters' Shield, and my abs still have abs, and you guys didn't want to pay me, and you don't have a striker, and I'm better than Kevin Cabral. Suck it, Porrick Smith. I don't think Dom's actually going to say that. I don't think that's how Dom actually feels and everything, but that doesn't mean that he isn't motivated to play in this game. Mark, this team is really good. The only real hesitancy that I have in terms of how I'm feeling about the match in particular is the fact that FC Cincinnati, coming off of a high of winning their big derby game, and then what does Pat Noonan do in terms of squad rotation, given that New York Red Bulls aren't very good this season? So does he roll out a B team thinking we can probably win, or does he see, if I play my starters, we're into a quarterfinal and we're 3 games away from potentially
winning a trophy? And then what is the state of the Rapids from a physical, mental, and medical standpoint on Thursday morning? You know, that's kind of my concern. But, you know, Mark, we can stop. Let's stop bragging about altitude at this point. Like, teams come here and they win and everything. Altitude's talked up such a big deal when the Rapids are really good in 2021 and in 2016 and how they have a home fortress. I'm not going to remotely entertain that narrative until the Rapids win an MLS game in league play. And on that note, Mark, I guess I'll say it. I'm going to predict the Rapids to lose every single game until I see them win a game as well. This is where we are at, folks. Forget, like,
that's really pessimistic.
Yes, I am forever blowing melancholy raspberries here, Rabbi. Is how I feel. So
yeah, I don't really know how FC Cincinnati have done it. I did not expect them. I mean, they built off of a very good season last year and then they just kept going, but they've been totally dominant this year. They have one loss, and that's including Open Cup play. So one of the questions you might ask is, how serious are they going to take Open Cup this week? And are they going to take their foot off the gas against Colorado? But they've been beating all comers, and they've just been absolutely pummeling people. Luciano, and the other thing I think is fascinating about this team is it's kind of assembled with parts. I think you could give Pat Noonan most of the credit. I mean, that's what I'll say, is that Pat Noonan, an MLS, star in his day, but I think, you know, between him and Steve Cherundolo having success as MLS head coaches is credit to the fact that being an MLS lifer means you understand something about this league that maybe a European who comes in doesn't necessarily understand. I think just getting the secret sauce right of some of the players they added is really interesting. I would not have said Nick Haglund and Ray Gattis were essential components of a team, but they've been right there and they've been important. I mean, Ray Gattis was kind of picked off of the scrap heap. I love Ray Gattis. I think he's a fun player.
He was good with Philly when they ascended their level as well, Mark. But I mean, if you told me when the Rapids traded for Keegan Rosenberry that they got Ray Gattis instead, I would have been here for it.
No, and I think the thing about Ray Gattis that I've always thought is I thought he was kind of one-dimensional. He's a very Marcel Wynn, if you're a Rapids fan and you remember back, kind of player, which is his pace on the back at fullback means that he can make up for any kind of technical mistakes that he's going to make, and he can race back. And if somebody makes a head nod and gets a step on him, he's going to out-accelerate him. Nick Haglund, you know, also a guy, but then it's also Matt Miazga, who, you know, NYRB sold off to Europe, you know, many a moon ago and has come back to MLS and is anchoring a back line and doing a really good job of it. So, you know, Luciano Costa and Don Baggi, and you've basically got a who's who of reclamation projects around MLS who are working, and that it's all coming together. That's why I don't fully understand how Cincinnati is doing what they do. A little bit of what they're doing is through depth. They've got Yuya Kubo, they've got Alvis Powell, and a number of players like down their list that are younger players who are getting things done for them. So Cincinnati, again, I think you're right, Matt. There's no reason to bet on the Rapids when there's no evidence that they know what they're doing right now. So I'll give this one a 2-0 win for Cincinnati.
Who scores the goals, Mark? I guess let me put it this way. Do we think Don Baggi gets a goal or an assist?
Oh, I think it'll be Brandon Vasquez and Luciano Costa. I'm just not going to give Baggi the satisfaction of me predicting him getting a goal. But you would be dumb. You wouldn't be dumb to predict him to score a goal.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to agree with you. I'll say Dom doesn't score, Mark, but I do say that FC Cincinnati will win this game, unfortunately, for the Colorado Rapids. Mark, am I forgetting anything? Anything else?
You should tell them how to hit us on the socials and how to contact the show, our hashtags and all the other good stuff. And you should congratulate our overlords, the Denver Nuggets, on their ascent to the NBA Finals. Matt, who are they taking on?
So the Miami Heat, Mark, are currently up 3-0 on the Boston Celtics. Game four is tomorrow night. Today, if you're listening to us on Tuesday, listeners, and Boston completely gave up, Mark. They phoned it in and they lost by like 23 on in game three. So I think if the Heat come out and punch him in the mouth, I think Jason Tatum and company will roll over, and no amount of Jason Tatum texting Kobe Bryant at halftime, texting Kobe's former number since, you know, Kobe's no longer with us, you know, is going to affect that. I think it's going to be Heat versus Nuggets. I want to say on paper that the Nuggets are the better team, Mark, but I'll withhold my thoughts until I, you know, get to look at that properly. Heat culture has been extremely infectious. They both teams got a bunch of dogs and everything, and playoff Jimmy has been just as good as Nikola Jokic has been. I still think Nikola Jokic is the best player in world basketball right now, but we'll withhold those predictions on that, Mark. We've done enough sad stuff. I'm not going to sit here and say that the Nuggets are going to lose in the finals to make all these Rapids fans even more upset. Listeners, you can follow us collectively on Twitter at @soccer_rabbi, at LWS Matt Pollard, and at Rapids96Podcast. You can view the written work on the interwebs for me and Rabbi at Pittsburgh Soccer Now, lastwordonsports.com /soccer, burgundywave.com, and our Substack that Mark mentioned earlier, holdingthehighline.substack.com. That's also where you can support us financially. You want to support the podcast, that is the best way to do it, or buy our merch. Preferably do both, but do one of those two things and merch will be coming up. I don't know, Mark, when are we thinking? We're still thinking late June probably to launch this.
Yeah, I have to get the final version of the graphic done, and then I think I'll be able to, ready to send that out in June. And I have 2 weeks off in June that I can send stuff out. The other thing is, even for our Highliners, I'm going to be politely requesting if you could send along the shipping and handling money. That would just help to make this a little bit more financially viable for us. But we're talking, you know, like $6, $8, $10, not a lot, and it'll be more than worth it for you to get your glassware. So,
Rabbi, in the spirit of being an engineer and dealing with deadlines that constantly get pushed back, I'm going to sandbag us a little bit and say by 4th of July, just to be very, very clear. Nice. Dear listeners. And then if you want to get at us, I didn't check to see if we had any Ask HTHLs. Let me do that really quick, Rabbi. This will just take a second. I'm not seeing anything recently, so no, we do not have any significant Ask HTHLs. But if you want to send us a question, listeners, and have us answer on the podcast, you can tweet using the hashtag AskHTHL or tag us at Rapids96Podcast. And if you got something that's a little bit more nuanced, harder to describe in 280 characters or whatever Elon decides the character limit is with notes this week, Rapids96Podcast@gmail.com. So feel free to send us, you know, text emails there, or if you want to record an audio recording of you forever blowing melancholy raspberries at us, then, you know, send us that there. We'll play it. Do we want to play people blowing raspberries or farting at us on the podcast, Mark, or is that beneath us as holding the high line?
Beneath us, Matt.
That is beneath. You can send it to us. We'll open the email. I can't guarantee that we'll listen to the audio, and it's definitely not being put out there for public consumption. But, you know, listeners, take care of yourselves. There are more important things than soccer. Soccer is the most important, least important thing. There are many other ways to find joy, and as I wrote about in my piece that I put on for the Rapids are doing a write-in piece for members of the community, and I was invited to contribute to that, you know, as someone who just recently celebrated 10 years from one of the worst days of my life and everything. So shout out to Sydney over at the Rapids for inviting me to do that. And I talked about it, Mark, and I mentioned how me having an army of people who care about me is so important. Rabbi, you are a member of that army. So many of you listeners are a part of that army. And even when I've had really dark periods in terms of my personal life or what's going on the club, the Rapids community is a wonderful place with, you know, really genuinely good human beings, despite the negative cynicism that we might exhibit on Twitter and regardless of how the team is doing. So take care of yourself, take care of others and everything. You know, the Colorado Rapids and the community around us, it's a big boat full of holes. We don't have any oars and we're up poop river. But Mark, we're in this together, and they're the only worse thing than watching the Rapids lose to RSL twice in 1 week is watching the Rapids lose to RSL twice in 1 week all alone. So, Mark, you and I, we have each other. Rapids community, we have you. Highliners, you have us. Listeners, we'll see you next week.
Peace.